ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज इक्वल टू एवरीवन। इति न सुमहाभागा नारायण गुणान् प्रति संशयः सम सुमहान् जाता तद्भवांश्चित्तुम् अर्हति। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट एंड लर्नेड ब्राह्मण, वेदर नारायण इज पार्शल और इम्पार्शल has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. Purport. Since Lord Narayan is absolute, his transcendental qualities are described as one. Thus, his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not displays of enmity toward his so-called enemies. But in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, this is meant not only for Arjuna but for every living entity within this universe. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayan is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. So these are the interesting questions raised by Parikshit Maharaj. We see in the conclusion of the 6th canto, Shukadev Goswami starts explaining to Parikshit Maharaj about the sons of Diti and Aditi. And we see how Parikshit Maharaj is a very astute listener, listening very carefully. And when Shukadev Goswami narrated how Diti's son should be Daityas, but 49 Marutas were born and Indra made them into demigods. So that was the first question came in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj. He said, how is it possible that they became demigods? He asked that question. It's a question of great interest. So I want to know the answer. And Shukadeva Goswami explained to him the answer. And while explaining the answer, Shukadeva Goswami narrated one word. For the sake of Indra, Lord Vishnu killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And he continued to narrate the whole pastime of how Diti vowed to kill Indra. Then her husband gave her Pumsavan ceremony. Parikshit Maharaj heard everything, but he did not forget the doubt raised in his mind. How could Lord Narayan take the side of Indra and act partially? And therefore in the beginning of the 7th canto is raising this question. And the question raised by Parikshit Maharaj causes one full canto. Shukadeva Goswami answering this one question into one canto. Similarly, if the doubt is not dispelled, that also becomes one canto of doubts. And that's how a practicing devotee can become astray from the path of devotional service. Either you express the doubt and get clarification, which could be one canto, which enlightens everyone. But if one does not dispel the doubt also becomes a philosophy. And that doubting philosophy is so dangerous. Therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, in one place Srila Prabhupada mentions, doubt is like a demon. And demons have the power to expand unlimitedly. So Parikshit Maharaj does not allow any doubt to stay within his consciousness. Inherently, Parikshit Maharaj's character is always dependent on Krishna. There is no question of Parikshit Maharaj having any doubt about the Lord's activities. But still, hearing about such stories, you know, just a statement made by Sukadeva Goswami. What is it? It's a general statement. But Parikshit Maharaj still wanted to be very clear about his understanding of Krishna. We hear so many things in our regular discussion which is not at all favorable to our Krishna conscious activities. We see how this world is running. We see how sometimes the practicing devotees going through so many difficulties. And if you don't clear these doubts in regards to our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, that creates a weakness of our practice. And with that weak consciousness, when we practice our devotional service, there is no intensity, there is no fire of Krishna conscious activities. And that leads to weakness of the heart. And then it creates so many doubts. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, when Parikshit Maharaj was chastising Kali, he didn't base upon all the experience. He did not make a philosophy based upon his experience. Parikshit Maharaj was following the Shastra very systematically. And Prabhupada quotes there one politician. He says, I have no sentiments about burning my body with certain rituals. I have no such sentiments. He said, I don't accept all these things. So Prabhupada said, just see, he is making a statement based upon his personal experiences and causing such a disturbance in the entire society. Unlike Parikshit Maharaj. What was Parikshit Maharaj doing? Parikshit Maharaj was taking the shelter of the Shastra. So therefore, this part of the Bhagavat, now Parikshit Maharaj raised question which is non-shastric in one sense because the doubt was there. And Sukadeva Goswami, till the 11th verse, he gives a logical answer. He gives how three modes of material nature work. Based upon the three modes of material nature, one is affected. And that's how you experience Krishna's blessing or you experience that as Krishna's curse. Based upon your connection to the three modes of material nature. Logically, Sukadeva Goswami explained. But he didn't stop at logic. Then he quoted the authority. He said, you are raising this question that Krishna is partial, but the same kind of question was raised by your grandfather. When was this? So Sukadeva Goswami is also giving a historical reference, Shastric reference, to make a solid impression on the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, to dispel all the doubts, remove all the germs, so that Parikshit Maharaj's conviction remains as strong as possible. He said, you are asking Krishna is partial, but your grandfather asked why Krishna is so magnanimous. The same situation. And he is asking about the same people, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who appeared as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And right in the presence of everyone, and Prabhupada writes, it is not that Yudhishthira Maharaj was mentioning some old history. There was no scarcity of evidence. It happened right in front of everyone. Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that. All the assembled sages saw it. All other Pandavas saw. What did they see? The soul of Shishupal entering into the transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that, he was shocked. He is asking this question to Narada Muni. He said, how is it possible? This person, Shishupal, the first statement as a child, when you see when the baby, newborn baby, speaks something, like I said that one devotee in New York was telling, just behind their 26th Second Avenue, there is an apartment, and one drunkard stays there, and he always fights with devotees, argues with devotees. And he came running to our Ghanshyam Prabhu and he said, you know what? He said, my newborn baby chanted Hare. So that was a news for him. He was quite shocked that his daughter had no connection with Krishna, is chanting Hare. So similarly, Shishupal, the first word he chanted what? Gali. He blasphemed Krishna. So he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, he should have had white leprosy. But not only that, he was stout and strong. Shishupal should have white leprosy. He should be diseased, but he was stout and strong. And not only that, he maintained his health, but after he was killed by Krishna, he was given liberation. How is it possible? So Shukdev Goswami was asked by Parikshit Maharaj that Krishna is partial. The doubt came by hearing one verse that for the sake of Indra, Krishna killed, Lord killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of the seventh canto raised this question. So just to make a solid, strong proof against Parikshit Maharaj's little doubt, not only logically convinced Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, but also gave a strong evidence. Exactly same situation, same story, same personalities were involved, killing was involved, the same person who killed him, the same people were being killed. But what was the perception of Yudhishthira Maharaj? He said, why Krishna is magnanimous? I saw Krishna being magnanimous. And then the whole pastime of Prahlad Maharaj is spoken. So therefore we see that it is not the experience what counts. We will have unlimited experiences which will oppose our understanding of Krishna consciousness. Because we still have the material senses and we still have the material experiences. And when we have the material senses and material experiences, that will always create an opposition to our practice of Krishna consciousness. That will keep raising the doubts. But then, a sincere student has to have the honesty and willingness to accept an authority and raise questions. Like, one person was mentioning, you know, that he has a problem in his family. And his daughter is going against his wills, creating a lot of troubles to him. So he told me, he said, look, I've accepted the philosophy of karma siddhanta. I accepted that everything works because of karma. He said, you pray that I am not disturbed mentally. I continue to accept the philosophy of karma. He said, when everything is going on nicely, to accept the philosophical understanding of karma is okay, but something is happening in your own life, causing so much of disturbance, then to continue to accept this is only because of karma, he said, it's a very challenging one. In fact, when somebody goes through difficulty, you know, devotee is very sensitive. He has to be sensitive, but at the same time, one who is going through the difficulty should be willing to hear that this is all happening because of my own karma. We don't like to hear that. It's very, very painful to hear. Very difficult to hear. But something goes good, one may say Krishna's mercy. It's very easy to understand because it is good. But something is going wrong in our life, we can blame our surrounding because of this person, because of that person, because this person caused that. So the challenge is, am I able to accept this is because of karma? This is because of my own karma. I said, it's very difficult. So you pray that I continue to accept the karma siddhanta. As a practitioner of Vedic philosophy, we can't avoid the principle of karma. If somebody is doing some wrong or somebody is experiencing something wrong, especially in this age of Kali, there will be unlimited wrongs, especially from other party in relationship. We can blame everybody. But do we accept this is happening because of karma? And therefore here, Lord Krishna or Shukadev Goswami, when quoting Parikshit Maharaj, not only logically convince him, destroy his experience, which is after all mundane experience if it is not favoring Krishna, and give solid Shastric evidence. And that is the one of the qualities of Krishna. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains, Krishna has 64 qualities. And one quality of the Lord is that seers of the scripture. Even as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, He can present logic and destroy all our doubts. But along with logic, Krishna also presents the Shastra. In the 13th chapter, when Krishna is speaking about the fields of activities, Kshetra, Kshetragya, therein Krishna explains to Arjuna, He said, you approach the Vedanta Sutra. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is explained elaborately in Prabhupada quotes. Just see, Krishna, even though He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as a matter of fact, as a matter of principle, He still quotes the scriptures. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he happened to meet a Brahmana. And he was a devotee of Lord Ram. And he invited Mahaprabhu to come to his house for lunch. So Lord Chaitanya went to perform his noonday duties. And when he came back, he saw that the Brahmana had not cooked any lunch. And he was lamenting. Mahaprabhu said, what happened? He said that Lord Ram had gone to collect all the ingredients. He would meditate like that every day. When he would cook for the Lord, he would meditate that Lord Ram would go to the forest in the Dandakaranya forest, collect herbs, roots, vegetables, and come back, and Mother Sita would cook and she would offer to everyone. So that was the meditation when he would cook. So he said, my dear Lord, he said, when Lord Ram went out, when I hear that Mother Sita was been touched by this Rakshasa, this demon, Ravana, he said, I am greatly lamenting. He couldn't cook only. And Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya said, why you say like that? He said, Mother Sita is the Lord's internal energy. And Ravan is affected by the external energy. The spiritual energy can never come under the purview of the external energy. There is no way Ravan can touch Mother Sita. It's an illusory Sita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced him. And then the Brahmana was pacified and he cooked prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate at 3 o'clock. Kaviraj Goswami says, he gives the time also. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his journey. And he came to Rameshwar. And in Rameshwar he saw the Brahmanas were reading the Agni Puran. And in that Agni Puran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that how Mother Sita, who touched by Ravana, was not actually the internal energy of the Lord. That was a Maya Sita. Immediately Mahaprabhu became very happy. He collected that copy. He photocopied it, xeroxed it, that means writing. And then he brought back to this Brahmana. Kaviraj Goswami explains, just to show him the evidence from the Shastra. Look, I have convinced you, but there is a Shastric reference also. To prove my point. And that Brahmana became very satisfied that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought back the holy scripture to prove his point that this is not right understanding, that Mother Sita was never touched by a demon. Just so he was a great devotee of the Lord, but mere fact, the meditation on this pastime and hearing that Mother Sita has been touched, he became very disturbed. There was a lamentation and Mahaprabhu had to convince him. So therefore the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the doubts are raised by Parikshit Maharaj. Naturally it comes, he acts as a sadhaka, but he doesn't keep the doubt. He doesn't keep the doubt. He finds someone, fortunately he has Sukadeva Goswami sitting next to him, willing to speak whatever Parikshit Maharaj wants to hear, and Parikshit Maharaj raises question. It's amazing, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not that Sukadeva Goswami decided, I am going to speak all this stuff to Parikshit Maharaj. It is all spoken to Parikshit Maharaj based upon the inquiry, the proper inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj. Then suddenly subject pops in. You know, like in the 7th canto itself, when Narad Muni asked this question, how is that Shishupal entered into the form of the Lord? Then Narad Muni narrated the pastime, the previous birth of Shishupal as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And now Hiranyakashipu troubled Prahlad Maharaj. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj raised the question, how can someone, one's own father, cause such a pain to his own son? I can't understand this. Please narrate the whole story to me. And that's how Shukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni narrated the whole pastime of Lord killing Hiranyakashipu. So these questions are raised, the answers are there. So therefore, as a practicing devotee, it is natural that we will have doubts. And if we have no one to share our doubts and expose our own lack of conviction in Krishna to other party and get proper answers from them, then these questions will actually not only affect our understanding, but will also affect our practice of devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that we see in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also. Now, who is Arjuna? Arjuna is the eternal companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has come to perform the duties for the Lord. Arjuna never felt that he will be confused. He came there to fight on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also had his own, as a Kshatriya, they wanted a place to rule. But when he came on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was a confusion. And there was a vishada, there was a lamentation. Just like in the first verse, Shukadeva Goswami was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, he said, Vishamo yata, it sounds Vishamo. You know, this Vishamo kind of a contamination. How can Lord Narayan be partial? Why Lord did like that? So similarly in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna Vishada. Arjuna is lamenting. But that lamentation is connected to Krishna. He expressed his lamentation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he expressed his lamentation to Krishna, that Vishada did not stay Vishada. That did not stay Roga. Vishada is a disease. Vishama is a disease. Doubt is a disease. But that doubt raised by Parikshit Maharaj or his grandfather Arjuna in connection to Krishna, in front of Krishna, then that became a philosophical treatise. It became a Bhagavad Gita itself. And Krishna spoke this knowledge to Arjuna. And Prabhupada writes here, you know, it is not only for Arjuna, but everyone who had gathered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Everyone could benefit the statement made by the Lord, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, every time Parikshit Maharaj raises question, he doesn't chastise him. Here also, the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami will congratulate Parikshit Maharaj for asking questions. More than asking questions, Parikshit Maharaj is being congratulated by Shukadeva Goswami for seeing the honesty of Parikshit Maharaj. In the first canto, we read, first or second canto, what is that? Nranam Santi Sahasrash. It's in the second canto, wherein Shukadeva Goswami glorifies Parikshit Maharaj. That yes, there are 100 subjects to discuss. Nranam Santi Sahasrash. Thousands of subject matters. But all such subject matters, what are they? Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Graheshu Graha Medinam. They are not connected to Atma Tattva. They simply increase our entanglement in this material world. Therefore, I congratulate Munayo Sadhu Prashtam Bhavadbir Loka Mangalam Yat Krita Krishna Samprashna Yanatma Suprasiddhati. My dear Parikshit, your prashnas, now this is Sutta Goswami to all the Shaunakadi Rishis, that I congratulate for raising such question. And they were also doubtful because they were performing yajna. And all that yajna, Prabhupada explains, rather than creating the desired result, the yajna was simply creating a black suit covering their faces. And that was what? That was raising more and more ignorance. What are we doing? They were doing yajna for so many years, but that yajna was not giving a desired result, and the question was raised. What is it? What are we doing? So it is natural we are also doing yajna of chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But while practicing, it is natural that while yajna being performed, the black suit of doubt will also be raised. It is quite natural. And if we don't expose ourselves by asking honest questions, this doubt will cover our intelligence. And our practice will become minimized. Our practice will become weak. And we'll start looking here, everywhere, other places. So therefore here Parikshit Maharaj is such a character. He does not hesitate to expose, even in the 10th canto. When he heard that Krishna appeared for what? To kill Kamsa. And Parikshit Maharaj said, how is it possible? That Kamsa is the uncle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Usually uncle's daughter is married by the nephew. He said, but here Krishna is killed. And if the uncle doesn't have a son, all the heir comes to the nephew. But here Krishna is killing Kamsa. He said, this will cause great disturbance. So please dispel my doubt. And again, Shukadeva Goswami narrates the whole 10th canto of the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Yes, of course he had planned to narrate the 10th canto of the Bhagavat, but still Parikshit Maharaj is raising this question and Shukadeva Goswami narrates the pastime. So therefore, a spiritual master will only answer our question if you are willing to ask him. Usually when a devotee makes, or a practicing devotee makes a mistake and is not willing to change, he is expecting sympathy. What is the sympathy? That whatever decision I take, you should sympathize with my decision. But a real devotee, a real practicing devotee, has the ability and guts to go. He said, this is what is happening in my life, and this is what my mind is saying, what should I do? But usually, a weak devotee does not do it. He expects more and more sympathy. He is not willing to accept the karma siddhanta. And therefore, when we make mistakes, and specifically when such mistake is addressed by a devotee, it's very painful to hear. Why? Because it is hurting our false ego. Even if you are going through a lot of troubles, and we are expecting sympathy from other devotee, yes, it's a responsibility that one should be sympathizing, but it is our responsibility to continue to accept there is something wrong in me. I should accept karma siddhanta. But Parikshit Maharaj is such an amazing example. And because he is being such an amazing example, the doubts are there and is willing to ask that question. What is it? That I am totally disturbed. That how could Lord Narayan be partial? And therefore Parikshit Maharaj, when Shukadeva Goswami heard his doubt, so beautifully the whole 7th canto is explained by Shukadeva Goswami. So this is a very interesting canto. If we follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj, we don't know how many doubts will be dispelled. And we will continue to progress in the path of spirituality. And here more and more from our spiritual master, the senior devotees, the conclusion of the scriptures. And when we apply the conclusion of the scripture, we simply make progress. And this person, one who said, let me accept the karma siddhanta, he is not even a devotee. He is some kind of a practitioner. And he said, you continue to pray that I will accept the karma siddhanta. So how much more? Because these are the five factors in the Bhagavad Gita. These are the truth. The jiva, Ishwar, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. We can't avoid this factor. These are the five subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita. So if any situation has come in our life, it is coming only because of karma. And if we don't accept that, and don't hear that, when we are in difficulty, and the other party to speak that because he is very sensitive, just like in the BTG article, one devotee wrote that article, one football coach in London, he made a comment in public about the factor of karma principle. He was kicked out. Immediately he was kicked out. They couldn't take it. He was thrown out of the business. He was kicked out of his coaching job. So, understanding that, you know, how sensitive subject matter is, but still we, you know, we should not say others, but we should be willing to accept from other devotee. Tell me, No, this is because of my karma I am going through. So let me continue to accept. Otherwise Prabhupada said, if you don't accept karma, then it's like, you know, it's like biting your own tongue. If you become angry with your own karma, it's like biting your own tongue. You hurt yourself more. And that's what we see in modern civilization. The modern civilization is what? Like Giriraj Maharaj is explaining, that everyone sees from the only present perspective, the present situation. They don't see the consequence of the present situation in the future, and they don't see the background of the present situation, the past. And because they don't see the future and the past, they're stuck with the present and they want to change it from another material point of view and complicate their whole situation. But if they can see the background behind the present situation and the future consequences, one will be very careful to not make the same mistake. And therefore here Parikshit Maharaj, it's an amazing 7th canto of the Bhagavat. So many things will be revealed about Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, Hiranyakashipu's meanness, and then ultimately how Lord Narasingdev protected Prahlad Maharaj, and then he concluded his teaching. How did Lord Narasingdev conclude his teaching to Prahlad Maharaj, even as a great devotee? Very interesting verse. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam kalevaram kala javena hitva. Lord told Prahlad Maharaj again the karma siddhanta. Yes, he told in the beginning, you worship me, become my devotee, continue to do this. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, my dear Lord, I don't want anything else except your devotional service. But how did Lord Narasingdev conclude his teaching? He said, you have to accept your quota even as a devotee. Good and bad. You enjoy the good and exhaust your good karma and do good to the bad karma. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam. If there is a papa in your life, if there is a wrong reaction, don't take another revengeful attitude. Kushalena papam. That you act positively towards that papa. In this way, exhaust your karma and then you'll be glorified in the other planets also. And therefore in the first canto, when Arjuna is remembering Krishna, he remembers Prahlad Maharaj. And that is how Lord Narasingdev concludes the 7th canto pastime, talking about karma siddhanta, that good and bad both has to be accepted. And before that he says, you have to perform your devotional service. But that is the conclusion of the 7th canto teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Ask Gauram.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. Since you mentioned about how Parikshit Maharaj is clarifying his doubts and Shukadeva Goswami is speaking so much of nice philosophy, and also Arjuna, when he was in difficulty, he asked questions and Krishna also pacified him with a lot of philosophy and understanding. So in modern times, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness in ISKCON and we are practicing devotees, and then when we are doing problem solving, especially with respect to some devotees going through difficulty, most of the time we provide solution at a practical level, and we do not always resort to detailed discussion about philosophy and understanding from the Shastra. Although intuitively we know those things, but many times the discussion doesn't hover around philosophy as such. And since we are living in a fast-paced age, so most of the time even the person seeking solution wants something practical and application, more than all the philosophical basis and the details of why things are happening. And so overall, sometimes I feel that we are resorting sometimes to some kind of emotional pampering. That means trying to make a person feel good, rather than go into details of, like, all this Shukadeva Maharaj and Krishna were very straightforward and detailed about what was happening, rather than you know, trying to make Parikshit Maharaj feel good about this. So, to what extent we should be taking shelter of this style, as you know, shown by these personalities, and in our own personal life and counseling when we do things, are we also exactly following this same principle, or we have watered down things to a certain extent and more concerned with application and quick fix solution? Although it is also on the basis of this philosophy, but we don't spend so much time explaining and discussing these things.
Yeah, I also have the same question. It's a very complex thing, that because if we give a mundane solution every time when person is going through a difficulty, a practical solution, and if we don't understand that it's still a material world and things will keep going wrong, so unless a person is convinced about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the foundational principles, you know, when we understand how Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna to Arjuna, if practicing devotees don't have this knowledge, they'll only look from a community of devotees something for their own selfish ends. What does temple offer me? Yes, it is a responsibility of a leader to provide security for devotees, you know, act as the representative of Guru and Krishna, to give shelter, to give them confidence, give them safety. But the material world is so arranged that many times this may not happen, but for whatever reason. Then what? Then we will not practice devotional service. Just like I was mentioning this point, many leaders fell down. One can blame, because I had such a leader, you know, because my guru fell down, therefore I am not able to practice. But then again, you made the decision also to accept a spiritual master. One may say, oh, somebody forced me. But you allowed the force. So if I don't take blame, at least 20%, where will I go? All the blame to those who made the mistake. Yes, it's not that they are not supposed to be blamed. They are blamed. But what about me? I also made the mistake. I followed the mob psychology. I was ignorant. So why not take that blame also? When we take that blame, so therefore, when we give guidance to others, as I said, one has to be very sensitive. Unless a person is willing to hear, Kali Yuga is so risky and dangerous, other party might even legally accuse us. Just like that coach was dismissed, even as a devotee, like there was a case, you know, one devotee was asked by his disciple, you know, should I do abortion or should I not do abortion? Something had happened. So that was the question. And the person was asking question, he wanted to trick the teacher. If he says, yes, do it, he said, just see, he is my guru and is telling me to go against the Shastra. And if he says, don't do it, then this person wanted to use legally, just see, he's stopping my independence. So therefore, you know, giving guidance, unless they are really willing to hear the guidance and willing to change, one has to learn the detachment also. Like I was reading some stories of the Acharyas from Madhva Sampradaya, the same, those who come in our line. One principle is there, you know, when one of the Acharya, Vyasatirtha, Gaurgopalpur mentioned his story in his class, that when he saw that some things were going wrong, he was the Rajguru of Krishna Devaraya in Vijayanagar Samraj. When that got lost, the next kings were not very favorable. And they realized that this is going down. And they became detached. There is no point staying here. They changed their place. Yes, there is no point in staying here and breaking our heads to convince. So he became detached and moved to another place. And Prabhupada also explains that unless there is a favorable situation, there is no point in preaching. Because if someone is not willing to hear what we have to say from the Shastra, then why break head? And just giving, keep on giving the material solution. Okay, this is another material solution. He'll be happy, he'll be grateful on a mundane platform. But then again he will go back to his old habits. Oh, grumbling. I didn't get this, I didn't get that. So therefore, you know, personally, in my case, I would, if the person is willing, you speak. If he's not willing, be detached. If you force upon, then you become a bad guy. You'll have a bitter relationship with that personality for the rest of your life. But he's willing to hear, which is very rare case. So, and I'm speaking from the point of view of hearing, not from the point of giving advice. I should be willing to hear when I have a difficulty. The other party should have that confidence to tell me, you fool, it's your karma. You are suffering because of your karma. So that's one understanding. You answer the same question. But yeah, unless we hear this philosophy of karma siddhanta repeatedly, because we are in this material world of conflict, Kali Yuga, you know, every kind of relationship will cause trouble, will cause difficulty. However much physically we do to people, you know, they will keep, you know, asking more and more. There is no limit. Like one politician was telling us, when he became a devotee, you know, he started chanting. And people knew that he gets up at 6 o'clock. At 6:30 they would be ready at his doorstep to solve the problem. When they came to know that he's getting at 4 o'clock, they would start coming at 4:30. Huh? Yeah, he was telling us. He said, they started coming at 4:30. They realized I'd get up at 4 o'clock and I chant rounds, they would come at 4:30. And if I would not meet them, they would start grumbling. Now, what is this guy? He doesn't meet only. So people are not satisfied. When they see, only give material solutions and don't increase their conviction in Krishna consciousness, in philosophical conviction, then we unfortunately make a spiritual process into a karma kanda, a fruitive process. What is fruitive? You come to demigod with certain intention, very clear intention. And if your intentions are not fulfilled, you go to somebody else. And we can't allow that to happen with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We can't invite people to Krishna telling them these are the solution we can offer. Ultimately, that is not the reality. What is the reality? Reality is that you are suffering because of your own karma. Can anybody avoid? Because that is one of the truth of the Bhagavad Gita. But how to tell it? That sensitivity a devotee has to have. But one who has to listen, then I should be willing to hear. That I am willing to hear it. Please tell me. I may not be able to practice, but you keep telling me. It will hurt, but I need to hear it. Because speaking is important in a very sensitive manner. Winning his confidence. You know, we are winning his confidence from all the material point of view so that we can speak the spiritual principle. He has to hear that spiritual principle. And if he doesn't hear, he'll keep on finding so many material solutions. So many material solutions. And which will never work. As Prahlad Maharaj said, again we'll learn that also. He said, a solution in this world will become another problem. The material solution will become another problem. So what is the solution? Bhogyana Punyam Kushalana Pram. Very interesting. That is the last verse of the teaching of Prahlad Maharaj. That's how Lord Narasingdev concludes his meeting with Prahlad Maharaj. Very interesting. I was quite amazed by that verse. Pure devotional service is there. Karmani Nirdhati is there. But still Lord Narasingdev is telling, enjoy your good and do good to your bad. Don't be revengeful to your bad. Taking action against the bad. Becoming more revengeful. Yes, Jagannath Kirtan. Like Mahabharata explains that no situation is perfectly good or perfectly bad. No relationship can never be possible that only one side it is bad and other side is completely right. Never, it can never happen. There has to be some percentage of blame you have to accept. Major blame may be with somebody else, but still there is some percentage of blame in us also. It's a clear verse explained by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, nothing in this world can be black and white. Even if 95% you are right, 5% you are wrong. Work on those 5%. That is what Shastra explains. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I believe we hear it spoken in this canto that the happiness and the distress, as well as the amount of wealth one is entitled to in this lifetime, is predetermined by all of one's previous karma.
To his friends.
Regarding that, so what happens if one worships some demigod with some fruit of intention for wealth and one receives it? Does that mean that demigods can adjust our previous karma?
I heard one story. No? They can't adjust your karma. Karma means what? It is not the amount. It is the experience of good and bad. Huh? One may say, if I get this much of wealth, I will be happy. It is the experience. Like, one man was not supposed to have a child. Then he worshipped, he told a Vaishnava sannyasi, I don't have a son. And that Vaishnava sannyasi said, in your destiny, I don't think it is there. Forget. After many endeavors, he didn't have a child. So he worshipped one mantrik. He worshipped one mantrik, he pleased him, and he got the child. Now, that child was there, but the experience, what is supposed to receive, happiness. Yes, in the beginning the child gave some satisfaction. But because you try to interfere with your karma, the child caused greater trouble. So it's not again, the whole material concept is happiness is just based upon measurement. How much money I have, how much house I have, how much friends I have, not the experience. In the philosophy of the Vedanta, punishment and reward is based upon your experiences. Even you see in the Manu Samhita, the punishment is based upon not exact punishment to everybody. And therefore the present civilization says that there is a partiality. A Brahmana is punished differently, a Kshatriya is punished differently, Shudra is punished differently, Vaishya is punished differently. But what is it? The experience what they go through is more important, not the gross punishment. A Brahmana is punished simply by words, chastisement. Why? Because a Brahmana cannot handle insult. It is worse than death. And Vaishya can handle any kind of, if you say, okay, we are going to chastise the Vaishya. Vaishya is dealing with the customers. All the time customers are condemning him for cheating. So the Vaishya will not feel that punishment. So therefore is fined. Money. When you say money to the Vaishya, he has a heart attack. So you punish him. And Shudra, because he doesn't own anything, he is just, the loyal servant of his master. And if he makes a mistake, for him to maintain his physical endeavor to please his master, he is given a physical punishment. So from a gross point of view, he has been only chastised and he has been beaten. We are talking about the real Brahmanas and real Shudras, not the so-called. So then therefore the punishment has to be effective. A reward has to be effective. If the reward and punishment are not effective, for a scholar, we are talking about the real scholars, to give them money, he will not feel happy. But if you give him books, some new book, rare book, then he will jump in ecstasy. Wow, this is worth something. And somebody is making more money. Like recently one devotee was saying, he knew he used to, you know, before he became a devotee, he would go to a gambling den. He said, what is the value of money for one who is making money unlimitedly? He said, this person, he came to a gambling den. He was on his way to London and he gambled. And you know, he said, you know how much money he lost? He said, 1 crore 60 lakh rupees. No change in his face. He greeted everybody and he walked away. So taking money away from him, because he is making so much of money, you know, it has to affect. There has to be an effect. If the effect is not there, then it's not the right punishment. So Vedanta philosophy is so subtle, you know. So therefore it's very difficult to apply the same principle in modern age. Therefore the punishments are almost equal, you know, for everybody. A rich man can buy the law, pay the money. If he asks, okay, you have made a mistake. For him to give money, no, he has to be given a different kind of punishment when he thinks that, you know, it doesn't matter to me, I can buy. He has to feel that I am missing money. Then taking money away from his good punishment. But if he doesn't feel, he can buy anything from money. Stop him from making a business only. Then he will feel affected. So therefore, that is the Vedanta philosophy. So it is not the measured wealth. It is the experience. So here what Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit, what Prahlad Maharaj is speaking, it is the experience what you get out of it. If that experience is there, then you are happy. If that experience is not there, you are not happy. That's how it was based. Now it is so illusory in modern age, no, that you may have unlimited money, but you are still not sleeping. There's a rich industrialist. Unlimited money is there. But do you think they sleep? So what is the point of having so much of money? They have to assume that I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. You have to keep chanting that mantra, I'm happy, I'm happy. But if you see from an observational point of view, they are not happy. So therefore Vedanta philosophy is so deep and so wonderful. And at least we have to apply in our own life. What do I want from Vedanta philosophy? Is it a material solution or spiritual oriented solution? If you have the spiritual want a spiritual oriented solution, then that is the philosophy of Karma Siddhanta. He said, you pray that I don't get disturbed. He said, I can't avoid it. What I am going through now with my daughter, he said, I can't avoid. He said, unchangeable. But you pray that I don't get disturbed. He said, I have to accept this is a Karma Siddhanta. Such a nice prayer. We'll stop here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.